Hello, welcome back to another week's episode of This Black Girl Podcast. It is your girl Lola, aka Ola.Miss.Lola without the H. I'm joined by the lovely Mister.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Do you want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah, tell me a fun fact.
So the term Mister was actually a shortened form of master.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's where MR comes from. It's a condensed form of master. And then for some reason, because it was a whole like patriarchy, like hierarchy situation, the wife then, the missus, was actually mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah.
So MRS. I don't know what the MS is. I'm just assuming it's miss. But that's what I've always grown up to know, but I think it's probably different at this point. But yeah, that's my fun fact of the day.
It's very, very, very fun, very cool.
I'm not going to start calling you Master, though. I'm just going to still keep it as Mister.
That's cool.
Oh my gosh. But yes, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. First and foremost, shout outs to the person at the prison who did Tory Lanez dirty by selling that mugshot to TMZ with his lifting hairline, his whole lace front lifting. You are the realest one. And I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you find a four-leaf clover on your walk, either back from the parking lot to go home or on your way home. I hope you find a scratch ticket with a $5 winning. And I hope, like, when you go to Starbucks to get your coffee, you find out that somebody in front of you already paid for it.
Yeah, they don't even make pennies in Canada anymore, but I hope you find a lucky penny on your way home.
Right? Like, you're a real one for that one, because showing him dusty the way he is. But I'm not going to get into that. We're actually going to pivot completely. Let's talk about forgiveness.
Okay.
I
feel accused.
No.
No, I'm joking. Oh, I'm joking. God. I'm joking.
No, I want to ask you, I guess growing up and in life, do you find it easy or do you find it hard to forgive?
My problem is that I am a very empathetic, soft person, mm-hmm. and I really want to see the best in people. And so it's too easy for me to forgive. There have been a lot of instances where I've forgiven people who probably don't deserve to be forgiven.
Okay. But, like, is it something where somebody, like, I don't know, let's say you got kicked in the shin and then somebody's like, sorry, and then you're like, oh, okay. Or is it, like, something where it's just like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, you're bringing me, and then you're like, fine.
I mean, it depends on the context, I guess. Because, like, I don't know, like, if somebody kicked me on the shin on purpose, like, you're going to have to do quite a bit for me to say so, for me to accept a sorry from you.
Yeah.
If you did it not on purpose, it's like, it's hard for me to even like hold it against you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know like in Canada and as a Canadian, it's very stereotypical for us to be like known as, oh, Canadians are always saying sorry, 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 sorry. And it's like low-key kind of true. Like, well, if we're in somebody's like, sorry, or like...
In Canada, you know? Sorry means both hello and goodbye.
True. you know, like, there's different, obviously, contexts for the word sorry that we use here. But you know me, so you know I struggle with forgiveness. I do hold grudges. I'm less bitter. I've grown to be less bitter, but I do hold grudges and I don't forgive as easily, and I'm working on it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't hold grudges just because I don't think it's healthy for me.
Uh-huh. I just don't think about it.
That's what I mean.
That's the thing. I hold grudges, but I don't think about it, so then I don't. I try to ignore the problematic toxicity that it can bring to your body.
Is it really a grudge? No, I don't know. For right? For me, it's just like I'm very honest, and I'm very fine with being honest with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also very okay. And I'm also like, I'm very concerned about being like very specific with things I say. And so the truth is, like, if I don't want to forgive someone, I'll just tell them I don't forgive them.
Right.
You know, like, I'll just straight up tell somebody, like, yeah, I don't really trust you as much, and this is a thing you're gonna need to work on, but let's just move on.
I mean, but okay, but here's the, I
Especially
guess,
when they're not willing to say sorry. That's the worst part.
here's the thing. I guess that's where you and me differ, where it's like, okay, well, we have to move on. I can be like, if I feel so slighted, like, I just won't even deal with you. I'm very, like, especially now, I'm very in my era of like accessibility. And if the forgiveness is not there and I know like I just don't genuinely fuck with you, then like you're not gonna have access to me. You're not gonna be able to just text me freely and then I'm gonna text you back, or oh, can you help me with this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, you're not gonna get those things from me, that joy from me, that kind of spirit from me. I will do shit on my own time. I will take my time. I will not be enthusiastic about it. And like, if I have to deal with you and I have no choice, I will make it as awkward as possible for
You know what I feel like helps me avoid a lot of these
And
situations?
maybe that's just me being petty, but yeah.
I feel like what helps me avoid a lot of these situations is like I just don't hang around people
Yeah, I
to the
know, I live
point.
with you.
I don't just don't hang around people that often to the point that like it really feels like it comes to a head like that. Like I've definitely had friends and I just stopped hanging out with them just because like every single time I hung out with them, I felt like I was getting annoyed. And then I was just like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to do this. You know, like I had one friend specifically that it was like, it felt like we would hang out and things would be going fine. And then at some point, she would just get something stuck in her craw. And then it would become like my fault. And then I would just get very annoyed. And then I'd be like, okay, bye. Like there was one time with this person where like they got annoyed with me at some point because I was driving them. Like, but I was like driving them back from a party. Like, I was driving them back home from party and they had something to say. And I was like, girls, shut up. Like, I'm literally doing you a favor. Shut up. And like, honestly, it was like after that, I was kind of like, you know what? I'm actually like low key done with you. Like, I
You got
don't.
the ick. You got
Yeah.
the trust me.
It just,
Okay.
it felt like, it was one of those things where it was just like, I sat and I thought about like how I feel in their company. And I always felt like I was kind of like on eggshells. And I was like, actually, I don't have a fun time doing that. And then I just decided not to keep this person's company anymore.
I mean, put it this way, I don't think I've had a similar situation, but I did catch like the ick from a former, I don't even want to say, now I would classify them as like an acquaintance, but a former good friend, where we had like an argument or whatever. I was definitely in the wrong, but the reaction and like, as you like to say, pulling the daggers out and taking it
Oh,
too
fuck,
far,
yeah.
like it gave me the ick that even after the fact, like even though I was sorry, like certain levels, like I didn't deserve that, you
Yeah.
know? And so the fact that there's like no respect of boundaries just because you're upset or whatnot, it really made me really think, like, do I really need this friendship? Like, obviously, it made me even think of it in a completely different way. Like, I'm not a good friend to you because I'm uncomfortable telling you exactly how I feel because
Right.
of your reactions.
Right.
So then it's like, let me do you a favor by just not being your friend, because obviously I'm not a good friend. I should be
Yeah.
able to freely talk and say how I feel. And if there are like, you've seen me with my bestie, there's times I literally had this person bawling in front of me because of something I said that triggered them.
Right.
And we've been able to have like I don't even want to call it uncomfortable, but have like
Difficult conversations, yeah.
difficult conversations and work it through. And they will explain to me, like, I need a little bit of space. I kind of need to process, but like, you know, we're okay. I just need to, you know, do me for a minute. And I'm like, cool. And we're fine,
Yeah.
you know, and vice versa. So like, it just taught me like what are like real friendships, and friendships aren't always determined by like length of time. Just because you've known somebody for a long time doesn't make y'all good friends.
Oh, absolutely. There's a band I love. They're back together now. Mm-hmm. They're called Death From Above.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember, like, they broke up for a while. And somebody in an interview asked them, like, when they were, like, with one of their side projects or something, one of the guys, like, oh, mm-hmm. why'd you guys break up? And they're like, honestly, we just sat and we realized that if we met today, we wouldn't be friends.
Yikes.
Like, we just, if we met today as the people we are now, we just wouldn't get along.
I mean, you know, that's like fair. Real. That's super valid. Really real. People grow out of people. Honestly, I really believe in the sentiment of people are here for reasons and seasons.
Yeah.
And sometimes that season is very long and sometimes that season is very short. Sometimes the reason is very shallow and sometimes the reason is very deep. And so, yeah, like, I just, with that situation, I removed myself. They tried to come back and, you know, tried to, I guess, ease the tension and be like, oh, it's fine, we're good, we're good. And I'm like, okay, great. But then I also noticed that, like, the relationship kind of shifted to, like, whenever they needed something is when you knew, like, you knew my number.
Right,
is when
yeah.
you need to call. You never checked to see how I was. There's certain things that I've had occur in my life that they've never known because they've just never bothered. Like, I think what really set it off for me, actually, was I had invited them to my home
yeah.
multiple times. At least four times. I proactively said, hey, you know what? Come over. Oh, like, we'll yeah. have dinner. We'll do something. And, like, normally they're a type of person to go out. But because I was literally suffering medically, I can't go out. And it's not something you just casually say on the phone or you casually share, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
So I had invited them to come over. We could have talked. I would have updated them, explained, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And every time it was like, yeah, sure, I'm totally going to come by or I'll do it tomorrow or the day after and then never show up. And, like, I'm not going to beg you to go somewhere. If you want to go, you will be there because you can find your time and business to go to all these other places and do all these other things. So it just showed me I'm not a priority to you at that time unless you need something from me, apparently. So, like, I was off that.
I really feel that, honestly. Like, there's so many times where I've there's been a lot of people where it feels like I'm the one chasing them down to have a conversation.
Right.
And it just gets so frustrating because it's like, bro, like, literally, like, if you wanted to talk to me, like, you could just pull up your phone in 5 minutes where you're taking a shit and talk to me. Like,
for
it's
sure.
like the barrier of entry is, like, literally non-existent. So if you don't want to talk to me, you just don't want to talk to me.
Fair, but
you know, it's not like the old days where it's like, oh, I couldn't get to a phone, oh, I didn't know your number. Like, no, you could just message me.
And with social media, it's even more accessible because even if you don't have the number, you may have the profile, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I get that, and that's where sometimes I'll admit for myself, I fall off with some friends, but, like, my love language is memes.
Yeah.
So
same.
Like, it is so wild to think that, but, like, literally, my love language is memes. So if I'm sending you memes, that means I'm thinking of you. Mm. We don't necessarily have to have a big talk, long conversation, but just know I'm thinking of you and I hope that you're doing good and you can react however you want at your own pace, but just know that I'm thinking of you. And I feel like sometimes that's okay. But other friends, I do feel like I should make an effort to call more, to text more.
I feel like everybody has one or two people that are like that, you know?
I know. And, like, I'm very thankful for the friends that I do have because they're understanding. They know I don't have to call or text them incessantly to be like, are we okay? They just know life is lifing.
Yeah.
Just like how their life is lifing. And that we're good. There's no hard feelings. And if there are, we're not afraid to have those difficult conversations. I'm very thankful for those friends that I have.
Right. So. Well, let me try to flip the script a little bit on this here topic
mm-hmm.
and say, what's a time where you could not get forgiveness and you just have to hold
the L
on your bad behaviors?
Hmm.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure. I have to think about that one.
There were definitely one or two women, especially when I was in, like, a hoe phase,
mm-hmm.
that the way I walked, the context of how stuff ended between us
yeah.
and how I walked away was definitely, like, not how I wanted it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think I don't feel like I've talked to you about her, about this person before, but there's one person specifically that, like,
Yeah, I remember that one.
where, like, we kind of went on a date or two, things were going okay, but I was kind of like trying to speed run a little bit of the first part of a relationship because I was like not comfortable things getting more serious with you. But then by the time I like sat and thought about it and really was like, yeah, I'm actually going to commit myself to this relationship and I wanted to end it off with this person, it was like, oh, you're just another dude who like used me. And like low key, like I kind of did. Not necessarily like consciously or on purpose, but like I was trying to like put space between myself in an uncomfortable situation. And I kind of used her to do that. And so that's just like, I don't know, it sucks. It's an L. It makes me, when I think about it, it makes me think like, ah,
Yeah,
my
you don't
bad
feel good
person
about
in my
yourself.
bad person instances.
I mean, trying to think of a time where I couldn't be forgiven. I don't know. I don't think I've ever done anything to anyone so like bad that I feel like I could never be forgiven. I'm trying to
It's
think.
not that
What
you
the
could, it's not that
shit?
you could never be
Or that I
forgiven.
wasn't
It's just that
forgiven.
you didn't.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess.
You know, even when you're like a kid, like I've definitely done stuff when I was younger, especially.
Oh, if we're going that deep, okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure this one girl, I don't even know. I'm gonna drop her name because I'm not even sure she even remembers me. She remembers the incident. I probably gave her a concussion. Her name's Natasha. We were in gym class, okay, and we were doing gymnastics in gym class. This is like elementary school, primary school. I think I was in grade 5 or 6. And perhaps she was in a grade younger, or either a grade older or grade younger. And so we were doing gymnastics, and so we were doing like front flips and cartwheels and stuff like that. And like I was loving it because like I was just like Cirque du Soleil, just like flipping through the air, having fun. And I can't remember if this was outside or in the gym, but I remember it so vividly. I did a cartwheel as she walked behind me and my foot contacted her face. Just thunk. And she went down. And I looked and I was just like, oh, I was covering my face. I was like, and she had to go to the office and stuff. And I got called by the principal because I had to explain what happened to make sure it wasn't on purpose. And her parents got called. Her parents was upset, obviously. And my mom got called and she was like, oh, like she was obviously defending me because she's like, obviously she didn't do it on purpose. Like she didn't see the girl. I was just like, I was already starting my flip. I didn't even see them like behind me. And so like I didn't get in trouble, but I'm pretty sure she never forgave me for it. She had a black eye. Like that's how that kind of force was behind me with that flip. Ooh, child. Poor girl. God bless. Natasha, I hope your life is flourishing. I hope your skin is clear. I hope your bank account has several commas and that you're just living a fruitful life, honestly. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That one feels a little,
What?
because that was just like an accident they
It
decided
was
to
an
not
accident, but
forgive you
she's,
on, you
but I'm
know?
just saying, I don't expect her to forgive me on that.
I mean,
I'm just saying, I'm
I guess.
just if we're going there, that's where I'm thinking. I don't know what else.
That's okay. You're just the goody two shoes.
No, I'm not a goody two shoes. That's the funny part. I'm not goody two shoes.
Tell me about bad things. You've no joking.
I didn't go to my sister's wedding.
Oh, yeah, but.
She probably will hold that against me
You
for the
don't
rest
care
of her
about that
life.
one. You don't care
I
about that
don't
one.
care, but I'm pretty sure she won't forgive me, and that's cool.
Yeah.
I told her I wasn't coming, but I did wish her the best in the wedding, the
Yeah.
farewell. But yeah. So
Hmm.
it is what it
It
is.
is what it is.
I mean, do you have something in your craw, I guess, that you haven't forgiven somebody else for?
I mean, yeah,
Is
that's
there any
what.
active
There's
grudges?
definitely at least one active, well, it's not active because it's
Yeah.
like at this point, it's like I just don't talk to this person, so it's a passive grudge.
Okay.
But I've definitely like after graduating, there was like a period of time where I was kind of like, you know, between work and figuring stuff out, and I ended up making friends with this girl, and like the whole fallout ended up happening because, like, my dog passed away. And, like, a day or two after they passed away, some of my friends were like, we're going to have a little beach party. We're going to try to do it. And they were clearly trying to do it to make me feel better. So I was like, okay. Yeah. It was cute. And I appreciate it. And I went there. And then this girl, and I invited this girl along. And she's like, oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to bring some stuff. And she wanted to, like, burn these, like, postcards she had printed for some kind of thing. And then when it started happening, like, she throws all these postcards in the fire. And then they start, like, crackling. And, like, I don't know. It's so funny. I remember, like, this happening because my family has a fireplace. And it's, like, certain things you throw in that are laminated, it'll, like, the plastic will, like, bubble up. And then, like, the bubble will burst. And there'll be a jet of fire as all the air comes out.
Scary.
Right? Okay. But the bubbles are not big. Oh, you know? It's like a one
little
inch,
tiny, like.
Like, you throw the paper in, and there'll shot. Be, like, there'll be, like, three or four little, like, 1 centimeter jets of fire as it's burning, okay. It's you like, know? Phew, like, yeah, yeah. But we're just, like, bro, this is laminated. We can't, like, burn this on a
public burning beach. Plastic will stink.
And this girl just threw a fucking temper tantrum. And I was like, if you see, and I was trying to talk her down and talk her. And I was like, at the end of the day, if you can't take seriously me asking you to do something, like, 2 days after my dog died, and I'm real bummed about it, you're just not going to do shit for me. There's a scenario will not happen where if you decided to, you would actually put me in front ahead of you.
Right.
And it was just one of the situations where, like, I always knew this girl to be, like, spiteful like that. You know, she's the kind of person that holds grudges. But I was just never in the crosshairs.
Yeah. Fair, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as I made her mad, and then I was in the crosshairs.
That
was
like that same friend. I'm like, I can't be your friend.
Yeah, as soon as it was like I was in the crosshairs, it was just like, well, it's over for me. Like, that's it. Like, she's not going to forgive me. And the thing that really made me like nail down on the scenario that it was just over.
Yeah,
was like, I got this girl a job. Like, I could have had a cushy job dog sitting for one of my sister's friends.
Yeah.
And I gave it to her instead because I knew how bad she was struggling. And then when she decided to get mad at me, she's like, you never did anything for people. And I was like, girl, I needed that fucking money. And because I thought you needed it more, I let you have that job.
Right. Yeah.
And I could have had that fucking money. You're going to. I mean, really seriously look at me in the face and say, I've never done anything for you. You just don't care about me.
Well, I feel like when it gets reduced down to, like, those type of transactional things, I'd be like, honestly, it's at a point of, like, no return. And I just, like, it's very dejecting to be like, that's what we're down to now. That's what it is.
Well, it's not even that it was, like, transactional. It's just like this girl when she's in her temper tantrum is like, yelling, and when I'm telling her, like, girl, like, you're acting crazy or whatever, and she's just getting madder and madder at me.
Yeah,
she's trying to say, like, I was never a good friend, I never did anything for her. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I straight up told her, like, I got you a job, what do you need? Of course it's like boop, 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 afterwards for a minute until they decide to get bad on their back on their mad train, and they're back on it. But anyways, that was a person I was just like, you know what? And then, like, 2 days later, I was like, I returned a book or something that I had, and we did a little exchange of things that we borrowed from each other, and then it was like, I never talked to this person again.
Good for you.
I mean, fuck them. I don't know. The problem with a lot of people, especially when it comes to, like, stuff like forgiveness, is that a lot less people are, like, emotionally capable of that kind of thing than you would think exist in a functioning society full of adults.
Really and truly. Like, adulting, I know adulting's hard, but, like, wow. It's surprising. Like, okay.
Bro, sometimes it honestly feels like a coin flip whether or not you have somebody who has the maturity to, like, actually admit they did something wrong.
Yeah, and then be accountable
and then actually give a shit about enough about you to, like, do something about it.
For sure. For sure. I mean, just thinking about the story and stuff and thinking about, like, in terms of forgiveness, I actually will hope, or I do hope, that my daughter forgives me. I don't think I'm the worst parent, but I definitely do occasionally have, like, mommy guilt where you feel like you can't quite do something. I still hate that, like, the one argument I've ever had with her dad in front of her, which I feel like was so mild.
Oh, it was
Like,
so dumb.
but it was dumb because it was like I didn't even incite it. I was just responding and I was trying to be firm because it's like I'm not gonna feed into the Lulu train. I'm not
Yeah.
hopping on. But like I felt bad in that time that she just like was so upset.
Yeah, she was real upset. It was the first time she really saw you two guys like really fight, or at least remembered it.
Yeah, and it's just like it was just like I felt like I disappointed her, you know? And I feel bad when she brings it up. And to be funny, I feel bad that she brings it up, but if anything, it makes me more upset at her dad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you didn't start with this stupid ass bullshit of you grasping straws, like we wouldn't even be here. But now we're here, or actually, no, I'm here, you know, to deal with the repercussions, so it's just like that I think is one of the most recent things that I hope I get forgiven for.
Yeah, I mean, I
So,
think she will.
yeah. I
You
mean,
know?
like I said, she's a good kid, and I don't think I'm like super mom, but I know I try.
Yeah. I mean,
So.
she definitely has picked up certain traits from her father, and one of those things is that she's not very good at saying sorry.
Oh my gosh, fucking
She's
allergic to it.
allergic as hell
Fucking
to it.
No, I'm telling you, 100% micro story about my own child. She would bawl like you were killing her. If you told her say sorry, she would be stoic and stone faced until you say to her face, "You are wrong. You need to apologize. Say sorry." Then she'd start bawling, and then cry out, "Sorry." And like I could never like it would always send me for a trip.
Yeah.
As SNG would always say, "It spun me. It
Yeah.
spun me like." Bro, what? Like, it's that crippling to you to apologize? I don't remember as a child being that like that stubborn.
Yeah, same.
I don't remember ever being that stubborn
I
to
feel like
apologize. I remember feeling like shame if I knew I did something wrong or something and like feeling like embarrassed and having to say like apologize. But I don't remember ever being that like, you know?
yeah, honestly, like I feel like the hardest time period to get an apology out of me would be like in my teenage years. And then at some point in my 20s, I realized like, oh, I get stuff wrong like literally all the time. It's not a big deal.
Right.
You know, like doing stuff wrong and making mistakes is part of learning. And but honestly, the hard part is like there are definitely some times with relationships and with people where like you can't just make the mistake and learn from it and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there are definitely things that you can do to people and lines you can cross with people where it's just like you didn't mean to do it, but at the same time, like
You did.
you can't really walk it back.
For sure. Oh my gosh, yeah, that happened to me last week. I told you with one of my coworkers.
Right?
I said something and I said it kind of like nonchalantly and I appreciate them calling me out on it 'cause they're like, "Oh, I like I'm actually kind of taken aback that you would say that. Like, you understand the circumstances of my week and yada yada yada." And to add more context, they report to me. So like it was, as much as this, we're friends, I'm also like supposed to be this person's manager.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Oh, I can't believe you the way you said it made it seem like yada 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 yada, whatever." And so immediately, because they were trying to say like, "Oh, but I know you didn't mean it, so it's okay," and blah blah blah. And I'm like, "No, I appreciate that you understand that that was not my intent, but I absolutely apologize."
Right.
Like I com that immediately owned up to it because it's just like obviously like I wasn't thinking and and it like it still bothers me. I still feel icky about it. I'm probably gonna text them later and say like I'm so sorry again for last week and they're gonna be like it's fine. And I'm like honestly it's not. It still bothers me.
Nah, I get that though, because like I said, like sometimes it's a little too easy for me to forgive people, and it wasn't until like I went to therapy and talked with even a therapist that didn't really like that much, but he basically was saying like The problem with empathizing with people in terms of forgiveness is like a lot of times people do it too early. A lot of times you put the cart before the horse, and it's like, no, first thing that needs to happen is the person needs to acknowledge they did something wrong and like come to you and ask for a genuine forgive, like genuinely ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And until that happens, who cares why they did it? Who cares why they're feeling? Who cares?
Absolutely. And that's why, like, in that moment, I completely apologize, because like they were going to sweep it under the rug themselves. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, I need you to understand that despite my impact or despite my intent, the impact did not correlate, and that I am very sorry for that. Yeah. And like she ended up accepting my apology, which was nice, but like I still like I said, I still feel icky about it. I don't like hurting people that I care about, and I don't like hurting people that I respect. So, you know, and like this person is both. So like, it doesn't leave the best feeling in my mouth.
Well, I was going to say, apparently that's like not as common as a trait as you think it is.
Oh, bro, trust me. You, on the opposite spectrum, you already know who I deal with on a working basis, who I don't like.
Yeah.
And I don't respect. And like that's something I ain't forgiven. I ain't forgiven for nothing, because yuck. And the wild part is, we've had conversations to try and clear the air in the past.
Yeah.
And when I've brought up transgressions and issues, they immediately got defensive. So it's like, you don't even care to be accountable for anything.
Well, it's just like you care more about your own ego and your perception of this, of yourself, than you do about like genuinely trying to work on a relationship.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then like, and the joke is like, they don't even realize that the relationship, like how they've handled other relationships and that they've been, you know, shared with me, makes me look at them like they're wild.
Yeah,
like,
they are wild.
Crazy.
They are crazy.
I was networking sometime last week, and I was recounting to another person who has like a pretty prominent title. And I was recounting how, you know, this person was using somebody's personal, I don't want to say personal information, but like what they were doing on their personal time to judge and make business decisions, and how inappropriate I like thought it was. And that person's like, yeah, that's actually absolutely unprofessional.
That's one of those things that if they didn't purposefully kneecap the job and labor board, because like that's, you know, they want to be able to punish you and fire you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that actually probably you should go to the job. And like, if you actually knew that and they were actually talking about stuff you're doing in your off time on your job for a reason to fire you, you actually probably should be able to go to the landlord, to the, not landlord, to the labor board and be like, this is actually an unjust firing.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, they're going to misconstrue the truth.
Oh, yeah. And say, no. Like,
oh, well, you know, due to whatever non-personal reason, listen, whatever
be super egregious for the labor board to do anything, and that's by design of the thing. But regardless, I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
that's gross and actually probably should be illegal. Like,
no, I agree, whatever, but I'm just saying, like, but it just showed me that, like, it's funny because it's like I'm holding a grudge against this person, and it didn't even happen to me. It happened to somebody who I knew, but it showed me I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I can't trust you, because if I tell you something going on in my personal life, or I say, oh, I'm doing this personally and this is being very successful for me, or I'm very happy for this and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're going to go and say, oh yeah, we could totally sack this person because they're fine. They have this going on for them, or they're doing that in their personal life. That's not your business to judge.
And like,
it's just so inappropriate.
What I was gonna say is, like, the problem is too is, like, you know, you're saying you're upset with him for something he didn't even do to you.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't know if he did it to you. Like, that's the problem.
Fair, of course. Where it's like, am I in certain positions because of something they did or did not do to their own decision making based off of personal information? That's why I don't say nothing to them anymore. That's why I don't share. And like, again, that weird, awkward tension, I will foster and nurture that. Like, and it sounds petty and it sounds unprofessional, but I can at least reassure myself, like, I can be professional. I just don't have to be your friend.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, very different. And the problem is they want people to be friendly with them.
Yeah, but like, I was going to say, that's honestly, I've known other people too. Like, I used to rent a studio space, and the person I split it with was just some fucking weirdo, man. And, like, I literally remember having a conversation with this person where I told them to their face that I don't like them and don't find that, and don't want to be friends with them. And they would still message me every once in a while like we're fucking friends.
That's where you have to put the block button immediately. But,
no, I understand. But I'm just saying, like, for some people, it's weird because it's like they don't make this, like, differentiation between friendships and people that are just, like, around you.
Acquaintances.
Yes. And this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And
it's weird when it comes to work stuff when people are like that, because they make, like, weird decisions. Like, even this guy that I know you're talking about without getting too much information, like, this guy will go out of his way to, like, save certain people and give certain people who are, like, not performing well a chance because he feels bad for them, and then also will just cut your ass like you're nothing to him.
I'm triggered. Like,
doesn't even make sense. But I'm just saying, it's this weird thing where it's like, if you're friends with him, he'll go and bend over backwards to try to keep you, even when it clearly hurts the place he works for.
Oh, absolutely.
But then if you don't be friendly with him, he'll just let you fucking fall to the ground and shatter in a thousand pieces. Even if you're, like, a key linchpin to the company, he will let you fucking fall on the sword.
Bro.
It's weird.
I mean, it's weird. It is very weird. But, like, I guess the last thing I wanted to ask, because it came up in my head while you were talking, and I mentioned the word block. Have you ever had, like, I guess a dating experience or talking to somebody, or if it's online, where it felt a bit of a faux pas, where you're like, maybe I shouldn't go into there, maybe I'm going to block this person, but then you either forgave them and gave them a second chance, or, like, have you ever never done that before?
Okay, explain the question one more time.
Okay, so I'll give you my story context, and then you could tell me if you've had a similar one.
Okay.
So there was this guy who was, like, trying to, like, talk to me or whatever, and we saw each other on social media, and I was just friendly. I wasn't, like, into them. But I was friendly.
Right.
And so we would chit-chat, we would talk and do certain things, and, like, he would insinuate, like, weird shit. Like, he'd be like, oh, why don't you come over and you can cook for me sometime? And I'm like, why am I coming over to your house to cook for you? Do I look like a personal chef?
Yeah, even if you guys are, like, friends, why don't you say, like, you should come and cook something together?
But no, because he was trying to talk to me in a flirtatious way, and I was just meeting him back, like, friendly.
Right.
And, like, he kept saying, like, he was trying to obviously, like, persuade me to date him. But, like, his idea of a date was me going over to his house and cooking for him. And I was like, why can't you even take me out to the movies? Fucking Toonie Tuesday or something. $4 movie. Like, it's, like, a lot of people equate, like, who's a quote-unquote high-value person or a quality person based off of, like, how much you spend on a date. But the truth is, and that's a whole other tangent episode, it's not necessarily about how much money you spend. It's the idea and the effort behind the date. If you said to me, you know what, my money's not up the way it's supposed to, but, like, I really want to take you out. Maybe let's go. We could watch a budget movie. We could watch a couple B movies and, you know, get to know each other, blah, 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 blah. I would be more inclined to do that. And, like, but, like, my first date with you, if I'm going to go on a date, and I say that with very loose quotations, is not to your home.
Yeah.
And then cook you food. You're not even offering to cook me food. You're drunk. You're high. You're whatever. At that point, I was like, I am not. Like, I blocked him. They found me on Instagram. I blocked them there too. And thanks to Instagram now being part of Meta, they're now blocked on Facebook. I don't even know the page, but I know the page is blocked.
Like, sorry, this is just another example of like male privilege. Like, no one's been invested in me like that to like annoy me in such a way.
Who do you mean?
Do you know what it, like, I'm just saying, like, I've never...
You've never had a girl try to push for things way too fast that you're like, whoa, 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 no, 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 this is too much. I gotta go.
Not the girls I dated.
Really?
Not really. Mm. Like, listen, I've been in an awkward situation where somebody said, like, when I was graduating school that they had feelings for me, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of seeing someone else, which was true, but yeah. I also didn't want to date this person.
Right.
So, like, it was conveniently timed or whatever, and, like, whatever. But, like, that's not a person being an asshole to me. That's just, you know, them.
Yeah, you didn't have
them to being how they are, and, like, yeah. Whatever. Like, it's not, you know?
I don't know. I looked at my...
And I'm just saying, like, I think, like, the closest, maybe, mm-hmm. was there's this one girl. This has nothing to do with forgiveness.
Yeah.
There's this one girl, and we went out, and I'm a gentleman, and so when... signals were murky about certain kinds of situations mm-hmm. in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm just gonna let it go. Like, I'm not gonna pursue. I'm not gonna try to whatever. I'm just gonna let things, like, you know,
develop.
No. What's the word I'm looking for? De-escalate.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, we were going down, stuff were happening, we're kind of fooling around, but I couldn't really tell if she was like really into like.
Right, what was going on?
On, like, the first or second date or whatever, you know. And so I just, like, didn't press it.
Right.
And this impressed this girly so much. She was like, never had someone do that. And she was, like, convinced they were going to be, like, a good couple. And she thought she could see us as, like, a good couple. And I was like, girl, you literally don't like me. Like... Like,
sorry,
because, can't. Like, I can't, like, ah. I can't help it. Like, I'm an artist in my heart, and I'm not, like, one of these Andrew Tate alpha men or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I can take care of myself and whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm not like that. And this girl didn't like that. And I'm like, I'm not going to change that for you
mm-hmm.
just because you thought that, like, and it's just, and it was extra funny to me because it's like, girl, the same part of me that you like.
Yeah.
Where I didn't, like, advance on you is the same part you'll get mad at me for later.
Mad.
Like, so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But like, that's honestly the closest. And even then, it was kind of like a thing. And then eventually we just kind of, like, broke it off. And then it was, like, not even huge. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not like this girl stalked me, as far as I know. For, like, 3 years afterwards and was trying to get in my DMs or whatever. Like, no.
She's just lurking from afar. Like.
No.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I looked at my block list the other day because I was going through, like, my settings on Instagram, and my block list rolls deep.
My block list is not that
I
deep.
I was like, oh. And so I was reviewing all these names. I'm like, is there anybody here I want to unblock? Nope.
No.
Like, literally, people, when I say I've blocked since high school, okay? Still blocked. And, like, I don't even feel bad because you, like, there's nothing at this point. It's so far removed between certain people and whatnot that, like, not to say that there's no laws or benefit to unblocking this person. They're completely different. I don't know if we're going to get along or not get along. All I know is there was a sour spot and I don't feel like seeing if it's more sour or less sour. I'm just good leaving it where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it's like, you don't have time to meet everybody. You're going to have to, like...
I don't have time to keep up with the friends I do like, let alone the friends I don't
feel that.
Like, I don't have the capacity. So, like, why am I even... Like, that's why I'm like, I'm not even going to entertain this. Backed out of the block settings and just went on with my merry old day.
Bro, I feel that. I remember when Stranger Things, like, the first season was popping off. One of my friends were trying to get me to watch it. And I was like, bro, I've been meaning to watch this movie for, like, a week and a half. I don't even have time for the shows I want to watch, let alone these shows I don't know about.
In their defense, Stranger Things is that girl. I'm waiting for season 5. Funny enough, I got
into it. I watched like 3 episodes of the first season.
No, okay, but here's, this is where it fucks you up. I watched like an episode or two in the first season. It didn't capture me yet. I ended up watching the second season because I was home, bored, something. I'm like, oh, let me see the Stranger Things people are talking about. So I watched all of season 2 and I'm like, oh, this is good. So then I went back and watched all of season 1 and then I was on track. I watched season 3 and that's what, like, I think I watched that on time when it was coming out. So then I got into it and I was like, this is that girl. So then season 4 came out and then season 4 came out in 2 parts. You were there for that part of my life. So season 4 came out, season 4, 8888888. I'm so sad. That, like, shout outs to Writers Guild of America, because without them, we would be starving. We would be withered away with the lack of content. I'm so mad that it was only, like, I think it was 8 or 10 episodes for season 4. Mm. And it split up into 2 parts. Like, bring back the 22 episode season. Like, shout outs to Riverdale. Riverdale just ended season 7. And they gave us a very nostalgic goodbye, which was very cute. But, like, I want the 22 episodes where you don't know what's going on, so we have stupid filler episodes, because guess what? Yeah, you're going to feed me and I'm going to come back for more.
But you want to know what, though? Like, we got to blame nerds for that shit, because nerds hate filler episodes, even though there are good filler episodes.
Oh my gosh. Like, they absolutely are amazing. It was like good filler episodes. It was like a movie every episode. It was so good. The cliffhangers were wild.
But I'm just saying, though, but the tension is that they did 22 episodes, not every episode would feel like a
movie. I know, but here's the thing. Like, here's where I feel like they could have either broken them up to be a bit shorter,
yeah,
and have more episodes to hold us, or, like, I don't know, maybe take a bit more time. And they are taking time for the last season, so I'm excited.
Well,
but
I was gonna say, like, I do think it's possible. Like, I haven't watched, like, all the seasons of The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. but I didn't watch and really enjoy the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they did that's really smart in the first season is they kind of had this, like, half and half syndicated, unsyndicated thing where, like, I think it was an eight episode season, mm-hmm. whatever. It was, like, not many.
Yeah.
And, like, the first 2 or 3 were story, and the last 2 or 3 were story. And the middle were just one-off episodes, serialized. You didn't have to watch them in order. You could just jump in. You didn't need to know the plot. It's a new adventure, new characters.
That's
different
cool.
People. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
and then, cool. like, you know, later on, they have their more story beat focused episodes.
Yeah, they tie it back up.
That's cool. And, like, that's a model that existed, like, you know, like, Supernatural did that for a hot minute,
yes,
too. Like,
yes, they did.
So they definitely could make it work on Stranger Things if they wanted to. They could have, like, the filler episodes and the plot-heavy episodes, but then the problem is,
well,
these goddamn nerds hate filler episodes.
Well, no, because the thing is, because the cast got pretty large, the last season, it, like, had two main locations and 2 storylines that eventually converged and became one.
Right.
So, like, you were watching, like, some episodes was, like, location 1, some episodes were location 2, some locations started, like, first half location 1, then location 2, or back and forth, or vice versa, and then eventually they all kind of converged into one, which was okay, it was cool. But just, like, seeing how much story gets condensed now into 8 or 10 episodes, rather than, like, what we used to be gifted of, like, the whole 20 to 22 season lasts you almost the entire, like, half year, full year of, like, content. Like, I miss that. And I know, especially now with the Writers Guild going on strike, like, how that's literally just because studios and producers, well, not producers, I don't say explicitly, but studios are very, like, cheap. Yep. They just want to hire writers for a short amount of time, make them, like, turn out the work and get them back out.
And
it's a shame.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something we'll never forgive them for.
Oh, that part for sure. Because it's been almost, they said by October, it'll be the longest strike the Writers Guild has ever been on.
I mean, I'm hoping.
Ever.
I'm hoping for good things for them to come out of it.
So am I. Disney, wake the fuck up and pay people, please. Like, stop it. As I know, it's not just Disney, but I'm calling them out because that guy's the
Disney's fucking the, rich. Disney is one the of worst. The Disney is one of the worst perpetrators.
For yeah, sure. So, like, these people, like, without writers, actors wouldn't have lines to say. There wouldn't be content to produce. There wouldn't be sets to design. Like,
and most importantly, you know, in these kind of situations, there would be no beans to count. Because a lot of times when these people, you're talking about people who are like, why don't they understand that the writers are the reason you have a show? No, it's because they're a bunch of bean fucking counters and they don't really give a shit about the products they make. They just care about their financial impacts and they love to just sit and count beans.
For sure, for sure. So sending lots of love to the Writers Guild and to the Actors Guild that are also striking as well in conjunction, well, not in conjunction, but in parallel.
And you want to know what? Shout out to the auto workers too.
Yeah, that are on the brink of striking.
No, they're striking now.
Are they?
They straight up.
Honestly, shout outs to them. Just because I feel like a lot of people disregard labor and the arts and humanities as actual genuine employment.
Yeah.
And they don't value that it is work and effort. A lot of people think it's very easy or very simple to be an actor when really, when they are filming, like I've seen personally, just because you've worked in film and television, it's short, condensed stints usually of extremely long hours and lots of effort.
Yeah.
And it's very intensive for the short period that it is. But like, you shouldn't disregard that, you know, like 10, 12 hour days for multiple weeks and months, and sometimes it runs into weekends and stuff. Like, that's a lot of work.
Well, and what
people don't get paid the same as you would see, like, an A-list actor. Like, you know, Brad Pitt's not getting paid the same as, you know, driver number two.
But honestly, what I hate the most about it is the blatant hypocrisy. Because, like, the same people would be like, well, this person did a good enough job, and that's why they deserve the money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you come out with a movie and the movie's worth billions of dollars, then the people who worked on it are worth billions of dollars. Well, the market has decided these people's work is worth a lot of money.
Well, because it's a collective project. That's the thing that everyone forgets. Like, and I understand a lot of people will justify that, oh, well, it's the face or it's the A-list actor that puts the butts in the seats. But, like, how many times have we seen movies where it's, like, prominent actors that bomb because the script sucks?
Yeah.
It wasn't directed properly. Yeah. The visual effects were trash.
The best example, the editing was bad.
Yeah.
There's almost never times where people talk about how the editing was good in a movie. But if the editing's bad,
everyone will know about it. So for sure, I definitely agree and I support and I back that it is a collective project and that there should be a more collective bargaining agreement for all parties involved in projects like that to be more fairly compensated.
My big thing is just like, if you do a collective project and the project is successful, then all the people who worked on it collectively should enjoy in that success.
I agree.
And it shouldn't be simply gobbled up by a few, like, you know, high-level C-suite people at Disney or whatever.
And we won't forgive them until they do.
Nope.
So, with that being said, thank you again for joining us for another week. We're still debating on Wednesday or Thursdays for release dates. We're still trying to figure it out, get our sea legs, get our pod legs back in the game. In the meantime, though, make sure you are following us on the Instagram page at This Black Girl Podcast. I wish you a wonderful day. I wish you success. I hope you find a quarter in a shopping cart. You know, I hope you get bonus pay on your paycheck. I hope that person you're waiting to call or text you back does. I hope you get the job. I hope you find your favorite pair of shoes on sale.
Yeah.
And I hope to hear from you again and speak to y'all next week. Bye. Bye.